All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru, Sri Guru, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namani, Namaste Saraswata Devi Gauravani Pracharane, Narvase Janivari Pasata Deshatarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Shivasri Gaurabhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Bhavam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Verse 27. Te Deva, Siddha, Parigita, Vitra, Gata, Ye, Sadavaha, Samadrasho, Bhagavat, Prapanna, Tan, Nopasidata, Hare, Garaya, Abhiguptan, Naisham, Vayam, Naja, Vaya, Prabhavama, Dande, Tehe Vasidha Parigita Pavitra Gata, Ye Sadhava Samadrasho Bhagavat Prapanna, Tano Pasida Tahare Garaya Vigupta Naisham Vayam Nachavaya Prabhavama Dande.
Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gata Esa Dava Samadrisho Bhagavat Prapanna Tano Pasiddha Hare Gataya Abhigupta Naisham Vayam Nacha Vaya Prabhavama Dande
Tanopasita Te,
the
Deva,
the
demigods,
Siddha,
inhabitants of Siddha Loka, Parijita,
sang
of Vitragata, pure narrations,
ye,
who, sadhava,
devotees,
samadarsa, who see everyone equally.
Bhagavat Prapanna,
being surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Tan,
them,
na,
not,
upasidata,
should go near. Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Gadaya,
by the club.
Abhigupta,
being fully protected.
Na,
not,
Esham,
of these,
Vayam,
we,
Nacha,
and also not,
Vaya,
unlimited time,
Prabhavama,
are competent,
Dande,
in punishing.
Translation:
my dear servants, please do not approach such devotees, for they have fully surrender the lowest feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are equal to everyone, and their narrations are sung by the demigods and the inhabitants of Siddhaloka. Please do not even go near them. They are always protected by the club of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore Lord Brahma and I, and even the time family, are not competent to chastise them. Purport: in effect, Yamaraj warned the servants, my dear servants, despite what you may have done previously to disturb the devotees, henceforth you should stop the actions of devotees who have surrendered under the lotus feet of the Lord and constantly chant the holy name of the Lord, are praised by the demigods and residents of Siddhaloka. Those devotees are so respectable and exalted that Lord Vishnu personally protects them with a club in his hand. Therefore, regardless of what you have done this time, henceforth you should not approach such devotees, otherwise you should be killed by the club of Lord Vishnu. This is my warning. Lord Vishnu has a club and chakra to punish the non-devotees. Do not risk punishment by attempting to disturb the devotees. Not to speak of you, even if Lord Brahma or I were to punish them, Lord Vishnu would punish us, and therefore do not disturb the devotees any further. Text 28. Paramahamsa is an exalted person who have no taste for material enjoyment, will drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with Paramahamsas, and who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. Purport: after warning Yamadutas not to approach the devotees, Yamaraj now indicates who is to be brought before him. He specifically advises Yamadutas to bring him the materialistic persons who are attached to household life merely for sex. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Maitunadi Grihamedi Sukhami Tucham, people are attached to household life for sex only. They're always harassed in so many ways by their material engagements, and their only happiness is that after working very hard all day, at night they sleep and indulge in sex. Nidraya Priyate Naktam Vavayena Cha Vavaya Ha. At night, materialistic householders sleep or indulge in sex life. Viva Cha Charta Haya Rajan Kutumba Mbaranena Vam. During the day, they are busy trying to find out where money is, and when they get money, they spend it to maintain their families. Yamara specifically advises servants to bring these persons to him for punishment and not to bring the devotees who always lick the honey at the lotus feet of the Lord, who are equal to everyone, who try to preach Christian consciousness because of sympathy for all living entities. Devotees are not liable to punishment by Yamaraj or persons who have no information. Krishna consciousness cannot be predicted by the material life of so-called family enjoyment. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Deha Patya Ka Tradishu Atma Sanyesha Satsapi Tesham Pramatta Nidanam Pasyana Pina Pasyati. Such persons complacently believe that their nations, communities, or families can protect them, unaware that all such fallible soldiers will be destroyed in due course of time. In conclusion, one should try to associate with persons who engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. Translation: my dear servants, please do not approach such devotees, for they are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God, and they are equal to everyone, and their narrations are sung by the demigods, inhabitants of Siddhaloka. Please do not even go near them. They are always protected by the club of the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore or Brahman I. Even the time factor not competent to chastise them. Paramahamsas, exalted devotees who have no taste for material enjoyment, who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with Paramahamsas, and who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. So here, Yamaraj again praises the devotee and condemns the materialist, those who are sinful. So the idea here is that the devotee of the Lord is not sinful and therefore cannot be punished. And more than that, he is protected by the Supreme Lord. There's a double guarantee that he should not be punished, because he has no sin, for one, and secondly, the Lord protects him in all cases. So the next verse describes about Paramahamsas, are very, very advanced devotees of the Lord, people who are completely absorbed in the Supreme Lord. So we have here the idea that the devotee is protected, but what about the persons like Ajami, who wasn't really a devotee, he accidentally chanted. So we see that even this statement applies to that person, even though he's not a devotee, but he chants accidentally without offense. To that person, the same thing applies. And therefore, when the Yamadutas came, the Vishnudutas interfered and said, you cannot punish him. So, one, he had no karmas, so he couldn't get punishment, even though he had committed sinful activities. They were all destroyed, because unconsciously he chanted the name of Narayana. And secondly, the Vishnudutas came and said, you cannot do this. So they were protected by the Lord. He was protected by the Lord simply by accidentally chanting the name of the Lord. But he wasn't a devotee. So even though here Yamaraj is talking about devotees, this also applies even to a person who does devotional activity accidentally, not technically not a devotee, but still it applies to him also. So this indicates the power of bhakti, even if it is done accidentally in any way, but without offense. Then this rule applies. So if one consciously performs bhakti, devotional service, much more is attained than if one simply accidentally chants the name of the Lord once or whatever and removes his sinful reactions. And again, the protection of the Lord is more for that person. And if one reaches the Paramahamsa stage mentioned in the next verse, then of course we even have a higher result of bhakti and higher protection by the Supreme Lord. So we shouldn't think that it's all the same, that therefore I'll just take the easiest course and accidentally chant and then I'm free. There are various degrees of how the Lord responds and how karmas are destroyed, etc., with all these different types of devotees. So from the non-devotee accidental person to the person who's chanting but not purely, and then we get the one who's in pure bhakti, and then we have one who's got bhava or prema. The Lord responds not equally, but more and more as the person has more highly qualified. So it's not that he just treats everybody the same. Because as we see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, as that you surrender unto me, I respond according to that. So that is the basic principle. So we should consider everything equal, and that therefore we take the lesser standard and just say, well, the Lord's going to do the same thing, so why should I do anything more than this? So the more we do for the Supreme Lord, the more we endeavor for the Supreme Lord, the more the Lord responds, and the more we're guaranteed his protection in different ways. Of course, we see here in the case of Ajamil, who accidentally chanted the name, he got very good result. He got protected by the Vishnudutas, and he had no sins. So that seems very, very remarkable. If that is remarkable, then if one actually consciously performs bhakti purely, how much better that is. So we'll get much better result. So this is some remarkable result, but the result for the devotee is even better than this. So even though this looks very good, actually this is nothing compared to the treatment that the Lord gives to the devotees who consciously practice. So we shouldn't consider that this is the ultimate in any way. But nevertheless, this illustrates the great power of bhakti even done unconsciously without faith. Even that works. There is some effect from that. So, as I mentioned previously, this does not qualify one for prema, this type of accidental work. It can lead to Agata Sukriti's accumulating, and eventually we get faith, and then we can begin practicing. If we that we get association with devotees at that point, then we can actually practice a devotional service. Then we can progress further into bhava and prema. But this in itself doesn't give the final result. It's only a preliminary thing. So such type of chanting or devotional service is considered to be the devotional service or the bhakti for the people that have no faith. This is this is how they can perform bhakti accidentally. And for people that have faith, of course, then we have the process of bhakti itself, which is defined by Rupa Goswami. So there's difference here in the sadhana, the practice, and there's difference in the results. Here it is not a sadhana as such, because it's not consciously done. He does it, but he's not even aware of it. And he may do it often, he may not do it often. It depends. So this is the effect. Even it is a weak type of engagement in the Lord's service, still it has a great effect. So therefore, how much greater effect will we have if we do the activities consciously for the Supreme Lord? Much, much more. Even this, even though I say it's less than everything else in bhakti, still this is much better than the opposite, doing nothing, not engaging accidentally at all. So such people do not get protection from the Lord, do not get their karmas destroyed, therefore they have to suffer from Yamaraj, etc. So that's described in that next verse, that people who are averse to tasting the honey of the Lord, who do not associate with the devotees, or attached to family life, etc., then they must suffer in hell. They must get the results of punishment, etc. So this, we can say, is a first step, that the case of Ajamil, the accidental chanting, but it's not the final step, it is a first step. So as I mentioned, the chanting of the name, we preach, but that it can lead to offense also if we preach to faithless persons. How do we preach to faithless persons like Ajamil? Let them hear, and they may chant the name. So this is how they can advance, even though they have no real faith. And even if they are aparadis or whatever, still, let them hear. So in that way, Nityananda and Haridas Thakur went out, and they remembered Lord Chaitanya had to tell everyone to chant, so we'll tell even Jagai Mata, even though we know they're demons, we have to do it because Lord Chaitanya has told us we have to tell everybody. So they went and they approached them and they said, okay, you chant, and then they got attacked. So this is because Lord Chaitanya said, everybody, you have to preach to me. So Haridas and Nityananda let Jagai and Madai hear the name of the Lord. So that much can be done. Even to aparadis, what to speak of innocent people. So when this happens, then such persons get some benefit. It's not a strong benefit, a little bit of benefit. That's what they get. And gradually, by exposure to bhakti in any form, this atma begins to change. And when it changes enough, then we call that shraddha. And when you get shraddha, it is enough that it becomes conscious. And at that point, then we use our intelligence, our mind, our senses, our body to
try to find the answers, and then we approach devotees, etc., and some. So this is accidental chanting, etc., this type of nama bhavas is the form of bhakti for the people that have no faith, or even for the aparadhis. This is the only way in which they can advance by this. So therefore Lord Chaitanya said, you spread the name everywhere, let everybody hear the name, even the aparadhis, and they get benefit from it. We may not see the immediate effect, because it may take many lifetimes. Because even though it has some effect, it is a very slow process of accumulating. So we may not see the effects in one lifetime, whatever. In the case of Jagai Mada, effects were quite immediate because they got the mercy of Nityananda Vajitani, direct contact with them. So they got, they immediately reformed whatever and lost their asura mentality. It may not be so in all cases. It may be gradual effect. But in many cases, it will take many lifetimes for this to happen. And the reason is, of course, because although this is very accidental, it's not that they're always listening accidentally. It's only once in a while. So therefore, it takes a long time for such accidental hearing and chanting and whatever to accumulate to have some effect on the atma. Of course, the more a person is covered, the slower it will be. It takes a longer time to penetrate such a person and the coverings and to affect the atma. But it's open for everyone. So therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this process is open for even for sudras and outcasts, whatever. They can also take the process of bhakti. They may be covered over with ignorance, but if the atma becomes qualified somehow or other, and develops that qualification, and develops faith, then they become qualified for bhakti. And by performing bhakti, then they can transcend the gunas and the varnas and the ashrams, etc. So, when a person takes diksha, the ksha means chaya, chaya, which means destruction. So that means destruction of sin. So, therefore, through bhakti, one destroys all the sin, and therefore, one is beyond the gunas. So therefore, one transcends sudra, vaishya, kshatriya, and brahma by that, becoming a vaishnava. So that is illustrated or demonstrated by the fact that when we take diksha, then we get a brahman thread. So technically, the goal of diksha is not to become a brahman, but just to show that we surpassed all the ashramas, varnas, etc. And therefore we're qualified to do whatever a brahman can do, or whatever any other varna can do, that's all. So the goal of that diksha is not to become brahminical, because then we're bound into the gunas again, but simply to show that the Vaishnava has transcended the gunas, and therefore he can do anything that a brahman or anyone else can do, that's all. So in this way, the Vaishnava is transcendental to the gunas, to the varnas, to the ashramas, to karma yoga, jnana yoga, sangha yoga, whatever.
Maharaj, in one place Prabhupada says, we are not Hindus, but our identity is varnashram.
Oh, well, that may be, as for devotees, he's talking about, right? He's talking about people in general. Because we'll see in Chaitanya Charitamrita when the Madhvas asked, Lord Chaitanya asked the Madhvas, what is the goal in life? Then they say, Varnashram. And then Lord Chaitanya says, no. Not. Bhakti is the process, and prema is the result. And of course we see this in the conversation with Ramananda Roy also. First he says Varnashram, and Lord Chaitanya rejects that. And he even rejects Sarvadharma Prajajamamekam Saranam Raja, he even rejects that as being external. Because of Lord Chaitanya wants to come to the position of rock bhakti and then prem bhakti.
Vishwa is not necessary for chanting.
What's that?
Vishwa is not necessary for chanting. Today you mentioned that Sha, Vishwa is essentially for.
And Dil means Divyaganam. So we get transcendental knowledge and we get destruction of sin. But the holy name does the same thing, does it not? We can realize the Lord, Divyaganam. We can also destroy our sin. Achimil got our sins destroyed. So, therefore, Diksha does not mean that only Diksha does it. And if you don't have Diksha, you don't get transcendental knowledge. Because obviously you can get Shiksha without Diksha and still get transcendental knowledge. If it's not transcendental knowledge, then why should you get it at all? So, therefore, that is not the qualification of Diksha itself. Right next to that verse, the next verse there is, therefore, you should approach a guru and get mantra from him. And according to the vidhi. And then the commentary of Jiva Goswami is that the mantra is endowed with the, that gives us our Divyaganam in the sense of a relationship with Krishna through the mantra. And so therefore Diksha means that you get the mantra and through that you get Divyaganam and Bhakti-samsaya. But it's not the only process. You can also get it through Nama. So you also get Divyaganam, you also get Shiksha, you get your Divyaganam, you get your destruction of sin also. So, therefore, Diksha is to get the destruction of sin and the development of Divyaganam through mantra. Not Hare Krishna mantra, through other mantras. That is the definition of Diksha. Not just Divyaganam, etc. Because you get that through Shiksha also. You get it through the name also.
Also, suppose
the
devotee
says,
only I can take
Shishya,
not take Krishna.
And continues being all the devotees. Yeah, except you can't speak worse of the deity.
Okay.
What is this, that the spiritual master, at least in his form, that they chant on the beads? And then they give those beads.
That's this tradition. I don't know if there's any scriptural reference to that. It's not mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilasa anywhere. It's just a Gaudiya tradition. So that is not so much Diksha. That is more like when they give the name, I think. In Gaudiya Math, I think they may do that in the beginning. They just give the name. Without the Diksha, they may do that. I'm not sure.
You see, some devotees, when they lose their beads and their guru, the 3-4 days they don't give Diksha, or I lost my beads.
Oh, I see.
Chanting.
No rule on that. Nothing wrong with it, of course, because it shows that we have a relationship with guru when we're accepting teachings and whatever. And all this. Nothing wrong with it, but it's just it's a Gaudiya tradition, which I don't know how scriptural it goes. I've never seen a scriptural thing.
So the bead is also material. Sometimes you can break and drink.
Yeah.
You have a chain and all the things you can use, you can use the same bead to use it.
You may have to change it.
Without Krishna, that's not what it is. Yes, exactly. So, you know, but you know that.
I don't know if it's actually a disciple, a Siksha disciple. Whether he was, I don't know if you could say he was actually a Shiksha disciple. He was, I don't even know his age-wise, he was junior or whatever. Maybe he was a little bit like that. They certainly associated together. Whether we can actually call him a Shiksha disciple, I don't know, it's hard to say.
But I remember that sometimes he would come and listen to
possibly. But whether he accepted the Shiksha Guru, that I don't know.
Maharaj, there is one more point. It seems like a paradox that although one accepts Diksha and one actually transcends the modes by doing that activity, but he gets a thread, which represents actually Varnashram system. That
yeah. That, as I said, it's only to show that he's actually superior to the Brahman. And whatever the Brahman can do, he can do. And the reason that was introduced is because some people challenge that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, only those who were Brahmins can worship the deity, and those who were Sudras and became Vaishnavas should not worship the deities. So then he said, well, every Vaishnava is greater than the Brahman, so he's also qualified to worship the deity if he gets initiation. So therefore, he gave his thread to everybody.
Can you say, Maharaj, that these mantras can be chanted without giving thread?
Seven. Oh yeah. The Brahma guide is separate. That's the one that goes with the thread. It's the other ones, the Vaishnava mantras. They're the ones that qualify us as a Vaishnava. So technically the Vedic Gayatri is inferior in one sense. Guess not directly Krishna.
So other
Gayatri
actually can be chanted without the thread.
Yeah. Well, that was the procedure before. You got your Gayatri thread if you were a twice born. Whenever you got it from your parents when you're 5 years old, later you took initiation, so you didn't get a thread then. And if you didn't, if you're a sudra, you wouldn't get a thread at all, but you still get your diksha and get your mantras. Huh?
It's necessary for a devotee, you must take diksha from a devotee, you must take permission from the diksha.
Technically, yeah. In Krishna Bhajanamrita, it says that in order that there's no contradiction of philosophy. In other words, you take from a wrong guru, your shiksha, and then you end up with a personalist or something, so you should make sure he's actually a genuine, you know, devotee who has genuine teachings, Vaishnava teachings.
Which means it doesn't
really
apply in this form.
What's that?
Which means this doesn't really apply in this form because they respond among gurus.
Yeah, generally. Yeah.
Maharaj, so this, even Shudras had, they got Vaishnava mantras. I mean...
Yeah, anybody. Outcasts also can get it. They can get, anyone can, it's not, it doesn't apply to Varnas and Ashramas. They get mantra to get shot.
So, Maharaj, from the perspective, they got the mantras from their parents. So, I mean, this was the earlier tradition there.
Who?
You said that.
Vaishnav?
Yes.
No.
They got mantras from their parents and they will get the thread only later.
No.
At 5 years, they get the mantra.
Upanayanam. That's a Vedic mantras. That they get through their Purohit and their parent. Usually the father gives the mantra through the Purohit.
Okay.
You know, like Lord Chaitanya got his initiation or whatever, he was a Brahmin family, so he got it. Later on, he became Vaishnava.
What about children born in Vaishnava families? They get a spiritual name when they have a birth, and they become big, and they get initiation. The names keep changing or they...
Yeah. According to the Diksha rule. Get a name then.
In terms of siksha acceptance, should he just acceptance in the heart of the disciple or he should also get the consent from the siksha guru that I should get?
Depends. Depends on which relationship you want, I suppose. Yeah, he didn't get permission and then he did something, so therefore he cut off his fingers. Thumbs.
Which means he violated his guru's instruction.
Yeah.
I am a follower. If he happens to have a request on the Vaishnava, and he writes a book on Vaishnava.
Who?
If a Mayavar follower,
yeah.
But he got some sort of Vaishnavism, and he has written some book about Vaishnavism, can we read it or not?
Yeah, one has to be very careful, because there may be some misconceptions there. May not be okay, you know.
It should not be thrown out, it should not
be... It's preferably we read from Vaishnavas rather than non-Vaishnavas. Because they may, there's bound to be some mistake in the philosophy somewhere.
How about devotion service performed consciously, but due to lack of knowledge, some mistakes here and there? How is it lack of knowledge?
That is called, it's abhas. Abhas. It has effect, but it's slower. A little weaker.
We say that one commits offense and one chants more and more and the offenses go away. That is in terms of anartha nivritti.
Yeah. Well, offenses, if they are intentional, one has to have particular procedures for that. And that is one has to consciously do something about it, especially Vaishnava Aparadha. One has to approach the person, apologize, and whatever, repent, etc. If it's accidental offenses, those ones are more or less just like normal anarthas, and the process of bhakti will dissolve them.
அவர் ஏதோ கொண்ட இது ட்ரான்ஸ்ஃபர் பண்ணி கொண்டாடினார் பைவ் இல்லை சுமிதா பிரபு என்கிட்ட அந்த இது
மாத்தடிக்கிறீங்களா
உங்கள் உங்கள்கிட்ட வீட்டிலே இருந்து
இல்லை மாத்தடிக்கிறீங்க
100%
Yeah.